Okay. This is our second, and I think is going to be the last, our second and last in Chabura on the topic of Psol Nogea. Again, there's more to do in the Sugya, Tzarech Levayer, other issues, but again, part of the theme of the night shiurim is to try to, most guys only stay for 4 weeks, so at least cover at least four major topics. Again, if you get bogged down with each of them, you can really spend 3 or 4 weeks on each topic. So again, I have to control myself, and I think after this year we're going to move on to the third sugya of Kibbutz Halei on the mission on the bottom of Chotel of Amel. Okay, but that's then, now focus on now. Okay, fine. So just a short recap of yesterday's Chabura, we basically tried to develop through the perspective of the different Rishonim, basically what came out were three different perspectives in the Mefarshim regarding the nature of the Psol Nogea. Right? Perspective number one was
Chashaker,
excellent. Not all at once. Approach number two was
Psol Karov,
exactly. And then approach number three was Psol Baldover. Exactly. Exactly. The idea of Psol Baldover, and you pointed out a lot of different various nafkamina, right? Right, Nafkamina, which came out of the these different approaches, including, short recap, issues such as, the requirement of Tchilaso Vesofo Pekashros, the issue of being made of the Chavaso, right, when you're being made to your detriment, where the issue of Palgino Nemonos came up. All these different issues really represent a concrete, Nafkamina between these three different approaches. And we're going to see how these three different approaches also will play a concrete role in terms of how you understand some of the issues of Negias in our Sugya. We'll get to that in a moment. So just to finish up, we didn't finish up the discussion from yesterday. Right? We're in the middle of developing the third approach, the approach of the Psul, the Psul Nogea Zedin in Psul Baldover. We pointed out, we started saying this is the position of the Rimigash, right? And we pointed out another important aspect of this third shita that it's psul baldavar is that it's not a psul edus, not even a formal psul edus, but it's rather the baldavar lacks a shape name based on this idea that once you're a baldavar, once you're playing the role of a baldavar, you can't even attain a shame aid. Oh, so fine. So we basically saw the Rimigash in Bo Basra on Membeis Amud Beis, right there in the whole sugya Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, right in the context of the question that all the Rishonim ask, why does the Gemara there seem to be ignoring the factor or the requirement of Tchilaso V'Sofa B'Kashrus, right there in the case there with both the Sefer Torah and the Shutzvus, right? It seems to be that it was Tchilaso Psol. Question: why is everyone ignoring that? So the way the Rimigash accounts for that question is by saying, oh, according to my approach, that Psol Nogea dictates that there's no shame aid. Right, when the psul baldavar applies, so then it's not tchilaso bepsul, it's tchilaso, you weren't an aid. And therefore, when the psul baldavar, psul nogea, falls away, you first attain your shame aid. So therefore, since at that point, whenever you have a shame aid, you are kosher, therefore there's not going to be a problem of tchilaso bepsul. So that's the first, basically, time the Rimigash, his shita, comes forth in his discussion of tchilaso v'sof v'kashrus, where he basically says, oh, psul nogea is a psul baldavar, where therefore there is no shame aid. That's one clear scenario where the Rimigash's shita comes forth. The other important Rimigash is on, again, in Bava Basra, and this is in the sugya on Memhe. So we already discussed this Gemara, right? It was brought up by the Shach, right? This is the case where the Gemara applies the psul nogea to a case where you have a mocher, right? A mocher who basically is being made that, oh, I am a mocher, I sold this field to this particular locale. And the Gemara says that mocher will not necessarily be believed because there's a chashash sheker, there's a negias. Because why? Because perhaps he has, in a case where there's a balchov, right? And a balchov whom the mocher, right, owes money and he hasn't been able to pay him back. So there's a chashash sheker, the reason why the mocher is saying that this land was originally his and he sold back, so that his balchov, who he's not able to basically pay off, will be able to now collect that field, because there's a shibud, right, a shibud nechasim, therefore the balchov will be able to collect that field as, to basically, in fulfillment of that original halva, right? The Gemara says there was a chashash sheker because maybe perhaps that mocher wants to get out of the problem of lo v'rasha, lo yishal. So the question that this Rigash and other Mefarshim bring up is that, wait a second, if you think about it, we're suspecting that this guy is going to lie and be over the Isser Chamor of basically Edus Sheker, in order to prevent, to obviate, to prevent himself from being over a lesser Isser of Lo V'Rasha Lo Yishalim? So that's the question that a lot of Mepharshim are bothered by, right? Just from the perspective of Chashash Sheker, the Gemara doesn't seem to make any sense, because why would it be Choshed, a person, to lie in this situation, in which case he'll be over an Isser Chamor, in order to prevent himself from being over a less Chamor Isser? So the way the Rimi gets, so the Rimi Gash has two answers to this question, right? So his second answer to this question, which is in line with the approach he develops on Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, is that he got it all wrong. The question assumes that the basis of Psul Nogeya is a Chashash Sheker, and then you can assess. And then this question could apply. Why would we assume he's going to lie in this situation where it's worse to lie than it is to be, you know, to violate Lo V'Rasha Lo Yishalim? But he says no, says the Rimi Gash. The basis for the Psul Nogeya is rather this Psul Bal Davar. So therefore, once you have a connection to the case, you are considered a baldavar, and therefore you lack a shemaid. So the reason why is a psul nogeya applies is not because we're actually, you know, is a chashash sheker. In a chanami, there is no chashash sheker, because in this case, the sheker is more chamer than the alternative. But still, the psul nogeya applies despite the lack of chashash sheker, because the psul nogeya is based on a psul baldavar, which says as long as you are defined as the baldavar of the case, you lack a shame aid. So again, this is the Rimi Gash's second answer to the question there. And just to read it inside, just to see this lashon again, it's very important, where he says, Inami, this is the second answer, we'll get to the first answer in just a moment. Right, Inami, yesh lahashiv, another way to answer this question, there seems not to be a chashash sheker here, is by saying the following. That which we do not accept the edus of a nogeya, lav mishum de chashina de edus sheker hu, very explicit. It's not because it's a chashash sheker. Ela mishum de kevan de lo nichale the mahavi lo v'rasha lo yishalem. That because the person has a vested interest in the case, because of this factor of lo v'rasha lo yishalem, the eshtachach de kam mati le hana misa aduse, that there is a potential hana in the case. Devrahavale kiman demasid lenafshe. It's as if he's being made on himself, i.e., he's a baldavar, right? Baldavar is a person who's being made on himself. So in the case, because the hana dictates that he's considered a baldavar in this case, and we never accept the edus of a baldavar. Again, it's going to be clear. V'lav mishum, again, the chashinon le bahusa adusa. Again, it's not because of a chashash, i.e., chashash sheker. Ela mishum, again, delo mikri aid plum. So again, he has the same lashon of lacking a shame aid. Again, so here you have, again, this idea that he attributes the psul baldavar, and therefore, and says, the second assumption, that a psul baldavar is not a psul aidus, but rather a lack of a shame aid. Again, from both of these Rimi Gashes, it is clear that in contrast to the Ktzos, who seems to have quoted the Rimi Gash as aligning with the Levush and the second approach of the Psul Karov, which is a Psul Eidus, seems very clear that the Rimi Gash in both in Membeis and Memhei, at least in the second Deya, seems to be taking the Psul Baldover, you know, approach to things, which has a very different nature of not being a Psul Eidus, but rather a lack of a Shem Eid. Fine. And it's just important that the Rimi Gash here has another answer. And the first answer is seemingly is a very different approach to the Zugya. This is what Yaakov is mechaving to, and he likes this. Not getting into the justification for that. But either way, the Rimi Gash's first answer is basically says that you can even understand this Gemara within the perspective of a Chashash Meshach. Right? The question was, from the vantage point of Chashash Sheker, this Gemara doesn't seem to make any sense. Because again, why would you suspect a person of being Meshachir in order to save himself from Lo V'Rasha Lo Yishalim when Sheker, the Eidus, right, Eidus Sheker is more Chamer than Lo V'Rasha Lo Yishalim? So the first answer of the Rimi Gash, right, basically seems to accept the assumption of the question that perhaps you can still assume that the basis of the Psul Nogeya is a Chashash Sheker, namely approach number one. So then why would there be a Chashash Sheker in this case? Says Yaakov in the Rimi Gash. The person only cares.
Because the person only cares about his look image here. And one of the things is like an internal thing that Lois and Shaker are not, nobody knows. And nobody. One thing is like a public thing about whether people see if he's a good look.
Exactly. So while the question assumes that the determining factor is, you know, which Isser is more chamur, and the question everybody assumes, oh, Eidu Sheker is more chamur than Lova Rasha Lo Yishalem, therefore we say, oh, why would he lie? So the first answer to the Rebbe Gash is saying that if you're dealing with the type of person who really doesn't care about Yisurim, all he cares about is public, you know, the public perception of him. So from that vantage point, you can say, at the end of the day, everyone knows if he doesn't pay back his loan, and therefore no one, like, he'll have bad credit, you know, in modern, you know, terminology, he'll have bad credit, no one will give him loans anymore. But at the end of the day, no one knows whether he's lying, so from the perspective of what people will think of him, there is a way to say that there is a chashash sheker, because he'll be over the more iser, on the iser, which is more chamor, to save his, you know, his public image. So basically, again, so I guess there are two deos in the Rimigash on Memhei in terms of whether he accepts, you know, the Baal Davar approach number three, or whether he accepts the Chashash Sheker approach. Again, on Membeis, he's going with the Baal Davar approach, which sounds, makes it seem like that's his, you know, preferred approach. But again, on Memhei, he has these two deos which align with the two different perspectives. Yeah? You have a question?
Okay, very good.
So the Rimigash, again, in one and a half places, we'll say, right, takes this third approach. And it's important, if you look very carefully at the Rambam's, you know, formulation of the Psul Nogeya, it seems like he's also taking this third approach of Psul Badar. Again, not explicit, but if you look very carefully, you'll read it inside in a moment, it seems like he's saying this. The way he says it, this is in Hilchos Eidus, Perek Tesvav Halacha Aleph, and he formulates the Psul Nogeya as follows. He says, Kol Eidus, Shetavo hana'a la'adam mimena, right? Basically, any edus where a person has a vested interest in it. That's the reference to psul nogeya. Eino meid, right? You can't testify. Eino meid ba. Shezehu kimeid al atzma. This is if you're being made on yourself. So again, that's very, very similar to the Rimigash's lashon, where he says havale kiman de masid lenavshe, right? Again, masid versus meid. Translation, Aramaic, Hebrew, right? Al Atzma, which is Nafshay. Again, same idea. So again, the Rambam seems to have a very similar lashon to the Rimigash, and which again, and the lashon itself implies that Meyed Al Atzma. The problem is that it's not Meyed Al Karov. It's Meyed Al Atzma. It's remade on yourself. It sounds like a psul. Psul Baal Davar. Exactly. It sounds like the Rambam, again, doesn't say much about it, and it doesn't then connect to whether that's a psul edus or whether it's a lack of shemaid, because that's another issue. But the Rambam, at least for sure, accepts approach number three, seems to accept approach number three that it's a psul Baal Davar. And again, so a little historical point is that it's interesting that the Rambam is connected to the Rimigash. It's not a coincidence that the Rambam and the Rimigash have the same shita, given that the Rimigash is the Rebbe of the Rambam's father, for sure, and perhaps even the Rebbe of the Rambam himself. So again, not a coincidence that the Rambam and the Rimigash are going within the same approach. Not a coincidence at all. So again, the similar lashonos are very telling. Fine. So just within this third approach, that right, that the Psul Nogeya is based on Psul Baal Davar, and according to the way the Rimigash says it, is that with the Psul Baal Davar, which lacks a Shemeid, which is important to know that there really are the two distinct assumptions there. We're discussing with this Maishi afterwards. Right? Assumption number one of this approach is that a Nogeya, right, someone who has any connection to the case, any potential of Hana from a case, it's considered a Baal Davar, again, which is an extension of Baal Davar, because Baal Davar is literally when you're the Nidon. Here, you're not necessarily the Nidon, but as long as you have a vested interest, that's an expansion of the Geder of Baal Davar. That's assumption number one. And assumption number two is that, that once you're dealing with the Psul Baal Davar, that the Psul Baal Davar is not a Psul Eidus, but rather the lack of the Shem Eidus. So again, those are two distinct assumptions. Number one, that every Nogeya is considered a Baal Davar. Then number two, the nature of a Baal Davar, of the Psul Baal Davar, is that it's not a Psul Eidus, but rather a lack of a Shem Eid, as the Rimigash explicates. So just in terms of that, it's important, we'll see, someone can hold of one of the assumptions and not the other. Like, we'll see in a moment, you can hold that the we do not expand Baal Davar to include every Nogeya. Really, the Psul Nogeya is based on either Chashash Sheker, like approach number one, or it's based on a Psul Karov. But they happen to hold that when it comes to an actual Baal Davar, that an actual Baal Davar lacks a Shem Eid, as we'll see in just a moment. But you can also hold the flip, like perhaps the Rambam. I mean, you could hold that a Psul Nogeya, right, is an expanded form of a Psul Baal Davar, but you can hold that, you can argue and say a Psul Baal Davar is actually a Psul Eidus. Yes, so these are two different assumptions, and you can hold of one, not the other. Again, assumption number one, that there's an expansion of Baldavar to include every case in Nogea, and then that a psul Baldavar is a lack of Hashem aid, and not a psul Eidus. So in terms of that second assumption, that the psul Baldavar, you know, is not a psul Eidus, but rather lacks of Hashem aid, just three famous and, you know, Mikoros, which go in that direction. Again, not talking about Nogea, but rather talking about the limited, you know, case of an actual Baldavar. So one famous is a famous Ravid, right? The Ravid is quoted in the Rush in Makos, like Perek Aleph, Simen Yud Gimel, like a famous Ravid in the context of Palgino Dibura. Right? So the Ravid there basically is coming to explain the notion or the klal of Ein Adam Meis Matzmo Rasha and Palgino Dibura. Right? And the classic case, actually in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, is right Ploni Ravani Liritzoni. Right? A person comes along and says, oh, that Rovea basically was, right, or had Bia with me, this Mishka of Zachar, so it's an Isser. Right, so when you say the words Ploni Ravani, so far you're acquitted. You didn't say anything about yourself. You were just, you know, being Machayev, that other Roveya, by saying he was over an Isser of Mishka of Zachar. Because from when you stopped after Ploni Ravani, the other, now you can end a sentence by saying La'onzi, that he was Ma'anis me, and therefore you didn't do anything wrong. But in the case where you finish the sentence by saying L'Ritzoni, so the question is, you just incriminated yourself. You basically made yourself into a Rasha. So if we accept the entire statement, so then you made yourself into a Rasha, then we're not going to be able to accept any of it. So the Gemara says, basically that's where we apply Palgina Dibura. The Gemara says, since Ein Adam Mesim Asma Rasha, a person does not have the Ne'amanos, cannot make himself into a Rasha, so therefore we do not believe you on that third word of Liritzoni. And there, we assume, we apply Palgina Dibura, therefore to only accept your first two words, Aploni Ravani. The Gemara justifies this by quoting this idea because of, he says, Ein Adam Eis Matzah Rasha, because Adam Karov Eitzel Atzma. So the Ravid there, quoted in the Rush, famously develops that this notion of Adam Karov Eitzel Atzma, which basically then triggers this din of Palgina Dibura, is not a psul, right, it's like the idea of psul baldavar is not a psul edus, but rather a lack of a shem edus. Basically, what he says it is that there's edus on the first two words of Ploni Ravani, but basically that third word of Liritzoni doesn't basically, is not chal in court. Basically, there's no chalos shem edus on that, because it doesn't, you know, doesn't go on the record, let's say, right? And, you know, you have a stenographer, you know, halachic stenographer of, you know, which words of the edim, you know, are, you know, register, that's the word I'm looking for, register halachically as edus, so that third word doesn't register, because he basically develops that because you're a baldavar regarding the statement of the Ritzoni, because that's when you're talking about yourself, since Adam Karabetz and Atzma basically dictates you lack a shame aid, so therefore there's no edus on that word, the Ritzoni, and therefore we're able to accept those first two words. But he says, but if we're dealing with a psul karov, he says, right? If we're not dealing with a case where it's a lack of a shem edus, but rather there's a psul there, then palginin dibura would not apply, because rather the din of edus shabat mitzlasa bat lekula would apply. Meaning, if that third word, if it was a psul edus on that, so then there's a klal called bat mitzlasa. If, you know, part of the edus is psul, then that ruins the entire edus. So basically, what's going on is that you have two different klalim which seem to be opposed to one another. On one hand, you have Palgin and Dibura, which says you can just split an Eidus. On the other hand, you have a klal that says Eidus Shabbat Mitzvah Shabbat Zakula, which says we don't split Eidus. We actually say if part of it is puzzle, the rest of it is puzzle. So the question is, how do you, you know, square these two klalim which seem to be contradictory? Answer is, it depends on whether we're dealing with a psul Eidus. If there's a psul Eidus, then Bat Mitzvah Shabbat Zakula applies. But if you're dealing with lack of a shame aid, so then Palgin and Dibura applies, because you basically just only accept the part of the edus which has a shame edus, and the other part which is problematic doesn't even register bichlal. So that's the Raiva there. And again, it's just important to what? This is the Raiva quote. Oh yes, in Makos, Perek Aleph, and Simen Yud Gimel. Which is important in light of analysis we just pointed out before. Remember, the Raiva, if you remember from yesterday, was one of the people who took the approach of Chashash Sheker. So again, this gets back to the two different assumptions. To say that the Ravid in the Rush is only talking about an actual case of Baldavar. So he says an actual case of Baldavar lacks a shame eighth. When it comes to Nogeya, he doesn't accept, like in the first assumption that we were talking about before, that you expand the Geder of Baal Davar to even include any Nogea. He says, no, Psul Baal Davar is limited to actual cases of Baal Davar, where you're actually the Nidon. When it comes to Nogea, that's Mishum Chashash Sheher. So you see, you hold of one without the other. So again, just another makar for this is the Chidush Eran and Sanhedrin Daf Yud. That's the case, that's where the Gemara discusses Plani Ravan and Liritzoni. And again, the Chidush Eran is the same analysis as the Ravid, where he's trying to square these two klalim of Palgina Dibura and Eidah Shabbatza Mitzasa Batzla Kula. Again, they seem to be contradictory, and he basically answers to the same Yisod that Palgina Dibura is limited to cases of Baal Davar, where it's lack of a Shem Eid. And while Eidah Shabbatza Mitzasa Batzla Kula applies to Psula Eidus, such as Karov and Rasa and Russia, etc. So again, the Chiddush Rana is also saying this Yisod, holding this Yisod, that a Psul Baal Davar is not a Psul Eidus, but rather lack of a Shem Eid. And again,
the Ravid spells it out specifically that it's a lack of Shem Eid?
Yeah, both. Both the Ravid and the Chiddush Eran both have the same idea. They're both very explicit. That's very, very important shitos. And again, if you remember the Ritzva and Kiddushin, which we also saw yesterday, where the Ritzva and Kiddushin assume that the Psul Nogeya was a Psul Karov, but he contrasted the Psul Nogeya with the Psul Baal Davar, which he says is the lack of a Shem Eid. And again, he was discussing the Nafka Mina a tchilas of a sofa bekashrus, which is one nafgimina between lack of a shame aid and a psul and a psul aidus. And again, the Ritzah is another example of someone who thinks that the actual Baal Davar lacks a shame aid, while he assumes, like the Ravid, that the psul nogeya is not mishum Baal Davar, it's rather because it's something else. While the Ravid accepted the chashash sheker approach, the Ritzah accepts the psul karov approach for psul nogeya. Fine. So Adkan, that's approach number three. And just developing that yisod in other contexts where you see this notion of something which appears to be a psul, really not being a psul, but rather a lack of a shem eid. So the last, call it approach, in the sugya is really a combination of the other ones. It's called the two dinim approach. And this really seems to come out of Nesivos, right? Up until this point, each shita which we've seen is basically has taken an approach and applied that to all cases of nogeh, right? Either you accept chashash sheker, and that's all cases of nogeh be'edus amshim chashash sheker, or you take the karov approach, or you take the baal davar approach. We haven't seen yet any mefarish who has mixes and matches, basically takes one approach for certain types of cases of nogeh be'edus and another approach for other cases of nogeh until the nesivos. So the nesivos on Lamed Zayin, Simen Lamed Zayin, Chosh Mishpat, right, Aleph, Sifkat and Aleph, exactly where the Shach, and the Sma, and the Ksos, they're all in the same area. So the Sivas here doesn't say two dinim explicitly, but this is what he says, and then we'll see where we get the two dinim idea from. So the Sivas there is discussing, the Nafkamina of Meichavasa, where we pointed out before that seems to be a good test case also between different approaches, where he, right, according to a Chashash Sheker approach, you seem that, right, if you think the basis is Chashash Sheker, then the psul nogeya should not apply when you're being made of chavasa, because in that case there's no chashash sheker. But according to the other ones, the pashtus, psul karov or psul baldin, the pashtus, they even apply lechavasa with some exceptions. The shach suggested one idea, the ketzos suggested another idea. Fine, that's just the background. So what the nesivos says is as follows. He says that there's a chiluk in terms of whether the psul nogeya will apply in the case of Meya Lichavasa. And he says as follows, that the type, and he says there are two types of Psul Nogeya. One type of Psul Nogeya is where the money at stake actually belongs to you. He says in that case, where you're actually the Baal Davar, where the money at stake really belongs to you, so in that case you can't be Meya Lichavasa. But in a case where you're more removed, you have a potential benefit where it's just hana, which is matzi lach, but right, the money at stake is not yours, but there's a potential side benefit which you could derive from the case. So in that case, he says, psul nogeya will not apply when you're being meyad b'chavasa. That's what he says. He says in one type of psul nogeya, one type of case, you can't be meyad b'chavasa, in another type of case, you can't be meyad b'chavasa. That's all he says. But the question you have to ask is what is psul nogeya, and then figure out whether that psul applies in a case of meyad l'chavasa or not. Plug it into our analysis before, chashash sheker, psul karav, psul baldavar, etc., etc. But so what it seems, Penusivos, is that he thinks that there's a fundamentally different psul nogea for different cases. And I think the way it goes is as follows. And in the case where you're just getting hana from the case, so then it's only a chashash sheker. And since it's only chashash sheker, so then you can be meya l'chavaso, because right, if the basis of the psul is only chashash sheker, then the chashash sheker doesn't apply when you're testifying to your own detriment. And that's why in cases where it's just hana, where it's just a chashash sheker, you can be meya l'chavaso. But in the case where the nidon is on something that actually belongs to you, so again, you can either say this as the psul karov idea or the psul baldavar idea. So in those cases where the money at stake actually belongs to you, so then it's not mishum chashash sheker, it's rather a formal psul of karov or this formal psul of baldavar. And in those cases, as we pointed out, the pasha, those formal psulim apply bein l'chavaso. Whether it's for your benefit or for your detriment. So basically, it seems to be that the basis of the nesivos is that he thinks there are two dinim, right? Certain types of case when it's just based on hana, that's mishum chashash sheker, and therefore in those cases you can't be made of the chavaso. While the other cases where the nidon is actually your money, so then that's a totally different type of psul. That's a psul karov or a psul baldavar, and therefore that applies even the chavaso because that formal psul applies in all situations. So again, you have this is an example of a mefarish, the nesivos, who's not sticking to one approach, is really mixing and matching, and thinks that depending on the case, a different, the psul nogeh will take on a different nature. So far, so good?
Nesivos?
So basically, nesivos, bottom line, seems to hold that in cases where the money of the nidon actually belongs to you, so then you can't be made in such a case, even to your detriment, presumably because he thinks in that case the psul nogea is a formal psul, either a psul karov or a psul baldavar. Therefore, those form of psulim apply in all situations. Just like a psul karov, you can't be made even to the detriment of your karov. But in the case where the nidon is not actually your money, it's just for whatever reason, there's a potential of you deriving some hanah from it. So then, the reason the nesivos thinks in that case, you can be made l'chavaso, because it seems like he thinks that in that case, the nature of the psul nogeh is only a chashash sheker, and a chashash sheker doesn't apply when you're being made for your detriment, because we're not choshed you anymore, because it seems like you're being very honest. Fine. Okay, so again, Akan is the background in terms of the background, general different approaches in terms of what exactly is the nature of the psul nogeh be'idah. So now I want to return to our sugya, and we're going to see that a lot of the different issues in our sugya relating, to the parameters and the scope of psul nogea, we're going to see how a lot of those different issues relate to the broader issues that we were just developing before. Fine. So now take us back to the Gemara. Someone want to read for us? Shmuel, you want to go for it? Starting with see Amar Rav Elazar, probably eight lines down. The last two words from our Rav Elazar.
Our Rav Elazar, Bevahu Vachel Postman, when he comes with another person to make the puzzle, Kokzien of Gebe Dusamu.
Alright, so what's the case, right? So the case in the Mishnah, I'm trying to understand. Right, Meir says, one of the Bali Din can be Posel an Eid. So the big question that the Gemara is bothered by is that when can a Bali Din be Posel an Eid? So this, according to this approach in the Gemara, or four approaches in the Gemara, according to the second approach of the Gemara, what's going on? Why is the Baal Din Naaman? Because he's joined by exactly. So basically, it's Eidus, him and another person basically create a Kad of Eidim, being Posel the original Eidim. So the Gemara asks, like Kol Kimine, as you read, Nogeh BeEidusu, since when can a Baal Din be made, on an Eid who's clearly relevant to his case? It's a clear case of Negias. So what's the Gemara's first stage of the Gemara?
Amar Avachal Berei Derav Ika, Atrigon Shikara Lav Ar-Er. If he brings a specific raya that he's possible.
Exactly. Basically, we'll see exactly what the Gemara is saying here. But at the moment, he brings a specific, psul, we'll call it. We'll see, that's based on Rashi.
Ar-Er Demai, what sort of psul? If you say that it's some sort of our heir, some sort of soul that he is a Gazlan.
Meaning if the Baldin and another aide are saying that the original cut of Edom are Gazlanim,
yeah.
Right, so basically that's like, again, the writer, that's the same issue in the Gias.
Ella our heir de Pramishpacha. Rather, it must be some sort of soul of that he comes from a Mishpacha that's not. So that he's not able to be a
kosher. Exactly. Like a vada, a mishpacha of a
vada.
So what's machok, yes?
The merest avar hanei a mishpacha comes to hadei, the whom we may like a pasil, or Rabbanu Sabbah is also from the gateway to Sabbah. So Rav Meir says that he's bringing a proof on the mishpacha, and due to that, he will automatically be apostle.
The key is that it's indirect.
I mean,
you're directly focusing on the mishpacha.
You're really making, you're only bringing edus on the mishpacha.
Exactly. We'll get back to this.
And the Rabbanan hold that in the end, you're not getting edus.
At the end of the day, you're impacting, you know, it might be rounded in a roundabout fashion. At the end of the day, you're being wholesale. You know, the aid who's coming against you, so it's coming, okay, fine. So, again, it's a lot of important, you know, lines here, and different stages. We're going to get to that right now, just to frame it in a certain way. So you're going to see this, there are two issues in the sugya, which seem to be impacted by the broader discussion, right? The first issue we're going to is related to that which we just read, and the second issue is going to be the later Gemara. So the first issue that we just read about is this general issue about whether the psul nogeya applies when your edus that you're nogeya on basically expands beyond the negius. And I see the two different examples of this. But right, and again, just the category is this idea where you're being made your edus, you're nogeya on your edus, but you know the totality of your edus expands beyond the cases that you're actually nogeya in. Sounds a little broad, but basically, the two examples in what we just read, where this comes up, number one is the first line, right? The Gemara first asks, or we pointed out, basically, what is, how in the world are they going to be able to be made, right? This is Nagias. And the Gemara is a Havmina that Kigon Shikara Olav Irer. As long as their Kore and Irer, somehow the Gemara is a Havamina, at least at this stage, that mitigates, that solves the problem of Negius. The Gemara then rejects it and says, oh, you still have Negius, but you still have to understand what exactly was the Gemara's Havamina. The Gemara at this stage thought, oh, as long as Shakara love your heir, you're fine. So the Machokis in the Rishon in terms of what exactly was the Havamina here. So first let's look at Rashi in terms of how Rashi explains what's the benefit of Shakara love your heir, meaning what was the Havamina, like how else were you being pulsed on that? So look at Rashi. Rashi's in Rashi Dibur Maskel Shekara Lav Irer. See?
Yeah. Baldin Omer Lefoninu Almahu Poslo V'yish Acharimo. So the Baldin says in front of us what he's bringing a soul, and there is someone else with it.
So meaning, if you read this Rashi carefully, meaning what do you think Rashi is contributing to the answer? All right, it seems like in here he's trying to explain, trying to give it an explanation as to why at this stage in the Havmina, why there's no Negius. Is there any like freeze in that Rashi that jumps out at you? In terms of the possible justification for the lack of Negius? So I thought it was the next one. And Lefanino is just you're being made in front of us in Bezdin instead. Anyone, any suggestions?
Amma.
Is it Amahu Posla? So what does that mean?
It's factual.
It's like he's being specific, right? So what I thought Rashi was saying, is that in the Havamina, you say he's possible. You don't give any details. So, and then in the Havamina here is that as long as you're specific, somehow the Negias falls away. So the question is, according to what perspective of Negias would be changed by like specificity? Any suggestions? So the only thing I can think of is chashash sheker, right? It's to say as follows, that, you know, when you're leaving things in the clouds and you're being very vague, it's easier to lie. It's possible. When you say he's a Gazlan, when you specify exactly what you're calling him, So then perhaps there's less of a chashash sheker. Basically, perhaps a person will be less willing to actually label a person falsely, like with a specific claim, with a specific psul. That's why I learned Rashi. I thought, so according to Rashi, again, this is a separate, it is not part of the larger discussion, but the way Rashi learns this, but he's learning this happening, is that as long as you're being specific, basically specificity removes a chashash sheker. And I think the only way to explain this happening within Rashi is within the chashash sheker approach. But the other shita, which is going to get to the larger issue, is the Yad Ramah. So he has a different explanation of this Gemara. In terms of what exactly is the Havamina of the Gemara? I mean, what's the Chiddush of Shekara Lav Ir? I mean, what do you think originally that was more subject to Negius? Now, when you say Shekara Lav Ir, that somehow you mitigate, you lessen the problem of Negius. It's a very novel interpretation. He says, V'ukimna kigon Shekara Alav Ir. What does this mean? What's the Chiddush here? Kolomar. Mi savris to ka'asi lemisile mishum kurva de eshtachach de legabe didei bilachud hu de pasale pavle nogebe edusa. Right, basically, in the Havamina, we thought that the way they're being posel, these edim, is by saying that they're a krovim. And basically, a psul karov is, as we saw in a different context, in the top of the amud, like in the avicha and avi, is very specific to this particular case, right? I mean, when you say, "Oh, this person is a karov," in this particular case, you're only being posel, right? You're only being posel this aid for this specific din. But every other case, he's a kosher aid. But the Gemara then says, "No, shakar lav irer," you basically grant him an objective psul which will apply in all cases. This is low. Hachav Mayaskinan, right? The answer of Shekara Lav Ir is to say that we're rather not dealing with a psul karov, which is very localized, very specific to our particular case. Rather, you're dealing with the case of Shekara Lav Ir, Shenimsa Boshemetz Pasul, to call Pasul Le Lekule Alma. You're rather giving him an objective psul, such as the Gemara is about to say, Gazlanusa, a psul Rasha, which is going to pasul him in all situations. So according to this Yad Ramah, this falls under this category of what we were saying before, of this idea that there is less negius when the edus is broader. Right? This, according to the Yad Ramah, the way he's learning the Gemara is that Nahavamina, there is no negius. Sorry, Nahavamina, there is negius because it's a very specific psul. It's only a psul karov. But the next stage is that, once you broaden the psul to passel this guy in all cases, somehow that mitigates, that neutralizes the negius. So again, that's one raya in the sugya, and we'll get to the analysis in a moment. One example in the sugya where you see that the broader the edus, the less negius there is. Right? Again, is everyone following? That according to the Yad Ramah, the way the Gemara reads is that in the Havamina there was negius because it was very limited, it was only a psul karov. But the next stage, the reason why there's no negius is because you broaden the psul. It's not a psul karov which is limited to that particular case, it rather passes the edim in all cases. So we're going to get to that in a moment. That's one way to explain it. We'll get to that. We'll just get to analysis in a moment. As first, I want to just give the other example of this.
You want? Yeah, I was also going to talk about the Sheker possibility.
Exactly. Yeah, 100%. We'll get to that in a moment. I just want to just first, see the evidence of this. All right, so again, the first raya to this idea that the broader, the scope of the edus, the less the negius, his Yad Ramah is the first example in the way he understands that first stage of the Gemara. The second example of this is explicit in the Gemara, right? In Rav Meir Shita, right? Which Shmuel just read. Where Rav Meir Shita is that if it's an error, right, of not of Gazlanusa, but rather of Pegam Mishpacha, right? What does Rav Meir say? That since you're being made on the entire Mishpacha and not just the person himself, according to Rav Meir, there is no Negias in such a situation. So again, that's another example where the broader the edus, right, and the first of the Yad Ramah, the broad, you're always talking about a person. The question is, the specific and the broad, or the limited and the broad, is whether that person is going to be possible just in this limited case, or is he going to be possible in all cases? That was the Atma's example of, you know, broad versus limited. But according to the Rebbe Meir, he's a different type of, you know, broad versus limited, where according to the Rebbe Meir, it's that, who are you talking about? Are you only talking about, is your edus limited to the person you're nogea regarding? Let's say, you know, you're the aid who's testifying against you, or are you being made against his entire family? Again, that's the Rebbe Meir Shita, and says, oh, there's no negius in that case where the edus is broad beyond the particular person to include the entire family. Oh. So now just to analyze exactly, you know, so now we just, you know, saw evidence in two Rishon, and one Rishon, and one Shita of the Tanakh, but this idea, the broader the edus, right, the less negius there is, now trying to understand this idea in light of the different approaches. So as both Asher and Avi were saying, that within the Chashash Sheker approach, this is pretty easy to understand, right? Because the idea is that a person is willing to lie in order to get what he needs, right? He's willing to lie to get what he needs, to win the case. But he's not necessarily willing to take down the entire world with him. So in the case, let's say, in the case of another Rebbe Meir example, so a person is willing to lie in order to not to be posel the aid who's trying to testify against it. But to take down the entire family, the person doesn't go that far to lie? Maybe no. That's just the Rebbe Meir.
But not just because he's so slightly morally pious, but also because it's less risky.
Okay, that could be. That's another way of saying it. Yeah, but I mean, they're both options. Either because, you know, there's a limit to his, you know, his sheker and how far he's going to go. I mean, I'll go to him. The guy's going to, this aide's going to come against me, so, you know, I'm willing to lie in order to knock him off. But take down his entire family, you know, mob style, that's a little too much. Or again, like you were saying, you know, the more, you know, as they say, you know, the more you lie, you know, the better you can get caught up in it. That's another way of looking at it. And again, in terms of the Dad Ramaz case, again, it could be that I'm willing to be posel, even the guy who's come against me. So I'm willing to be posel him in order to dictate that he can't be, you know, he can't testify in this case against me. But to posel him, to make him a goslin, so that he can never testify for anybody in all circumstances, maybe I'm not going to go so far. So again, that only works with, you know, what you call the moral pious idea. It doesn't work out with your idea of, you know, and your svara is that, you know, the more people you try to attack, the greater the chance that you're gonna, you know, that your lie will be discovered. According to the Adrama, that doesn't apply. Right. This is more that, you know,
bonus, right?
Exactly. This is more just like, how far am I gonna go in my lie? Meaning, I'm willing to lie to possibly guys so you can't be made in my particular case against me. I'm not gonna, you know, ad hominem attack to like call him a goslin to make it an objective soul so that he can never testify at all.
And this could also go with that because, yeah, right, meaning the farther down you try to bring this guy, the more people are going to be suspicious, more he's going to try to fight back.
Okay, fair.
Doesn't the Adrama hold him so karvus, Megibit Dabar is karvus because of
Shashakar? Oh, very good. Yeah. Very good. So we're going to get to that. I was going to mention that in a second. Excellent. 100%. Oh, so within the Chashash Sheker, that's one way to explain the Ishitos. Probably the easiest way to explain the Ishitos, right, is by saying, right, you know, the broader the psul, the less willing the person is to be Meshaker. Again, either in terms of, you know, really messing this guy over or messing over his family. How far is he going to go? Or, you know, in both respects. Ashir's were the way I was saying it. Oh. But within the psul Baldavar and the psul Karov, it's a totally, you know, different perspective here, because the whole issue is not, right, the whole issue is not Sheker, it's rather a formal psul. So the question is, how do these factors of, you know, the broadness, the fact that your edus is, you know, impacting, let's say, others, or it's impacting this aid not only for this case but for other cases as well, how do those factors play a role in terms of those formal psulim of psul karov and psul baldavar? So starting with Rebbe Meir, because it's a little easier to deal with that. So according to Rebbe Meir, it seems to be as follows, that the idea, what Rebbe Meir is formulating when he says this idea that, oh, meaning hani hamishpacha kemesadi, the iu memela kapasel. That's right. It's possible to interpret that line as follows. It's, you know, according to the approaches that it's a formal psul of a baldavar and a karov, everything is focused on what exactly is the nidon. Right. What, once you define what the nidon is, so then you can decide, oh, are you a baldavar or a karov regarding that nidon. But once you change the nidon from that particular person to whom you are nogeh to the entire mishpacha, so that is now a new nidun on the entire mishpacha, and it's possible that you're not a bal davar regarding that new nidun of the entire mishpacha. And if you look at the lashon of Rashi and the Ad Ramah is a similar lashon, when they're trying to explain the shita of Rav Meir, they don't use so chashash sheker terminology. They seem to be talking about this fundamental question of what exactly is the nidun. So if you look at Rashi Dibra Maschil Amishpacha Kamisadi, you want to take a crack at it? Abi, you want to go for it?
Yeah. Wait, which one?
Siyam Mishpacha Kamisadi?
Ami. Yeah, Vlachashom Hailuch Duday Masadi. Oh, he's not just testifying for this case and.
This guy alone?
Yeah, he'll go. Sadus Achrino, it's a different Edus. Lav Kanagev Edus.
Oh. So that key line of Sahadusa Achrina, which is both in Rashi and the Yad Ramah, again, doesn't seem to be talking about an issue of Chashash Sheker, but sounds like more of a fundamental issue, is that it's a different Eidos, right? It's a different Nidon. And it seems to be that regarding that new Nidon of the entire Mishpacha, you were not a Nogeya. So again, while the Chashash Sheker approach viewed the focus on the entire Mishpacha as just a factor of whether he's going to lie in such a situation, according to this more formal approach to the Psalmogeya, it's much more of a halachic question of changing the Eidus, changing the Nidon to the entire Mishpacha. And it's important, it's an additional assumption here, because the problem is, as Rashi says, is meaning this person is still in the Mishpacha, right? So granted, you're for sure a nogeya, you're for sure a karov and a baldaver when that's the only person you're talking about. But at the end of the day, even though you're talking about the entire mishpacha, he's also there. So there is a level, you would assume that still is a kurva, there still is a baldaver, at least a partial baldaver, a partial kurva. So it seems like an additional assumption which is not being spelled out in the Rishonim is like it's like a form of bittul in a sense. Like formally, we basically view the mishpacha as being as a unit which is separated from the individual members of the mishpacha from this perspective. And therefore when we say formally we view the nidon as this family unit, and since you're not related in a nogeya sense to the family unit, therefore even though yes one member of the family unit you are nogeya towards, that factor seems to be batal. And therefore, on a formal plane, according to these other perspectives, that's what's going on within Rav Meir, basically saying that the nidon is the mishpacha, and so therefore, in regards to that new nidon on the mishpacha, you're not a baldaver, you're not a kar.
But maybe in the lashon of the mela kapasil, it's not necessarily a bitul, but amigo de chayal lahai fiyal chayal lahai.
The question is, why do you even have the first itch? Because he is in the mishpacha.
So how can you get the chayal lahai?
Exactly. And the rash, what?
I'll give him that bonus, and then from there,
I lie. Yeah. It's hard. Yeah, could be. Again, that the lashon of the Gemara does sound like that. That's not Rashi doesn't seem to focus on that, but yeah.
I'm saying Rashi's not necessarily focused on that piece of it, right?
Correct. So, but again, it's hard. Again, that first stage is hard. I'm basically just coming to justify stage one. You can plug in what you were saying, but at the end of the day, in order, the question is why in stage one. Is a halal high, right? Not in the first one. So again, you can plug in the mona's one way to say it, but I'm just saying the bittul is it's just another way of explaining that first stage. And the reason why you're not nogeya regarding the mishpacha is because we basically, we sort of lose sight of the individual members of the family when discussing the family unit. That's what it seems like. And therefore, you lose that baldavar, that karov status. It's fine. So that's the mishpacha part. Which, yeah.
Why can't we say the chashash sheker thing? That once it's in the mishpacha, there's less chashash sheker.
First of all, I'm just trying to explain. Meaning, once we see that there are rishonim in all these different camps,
right.
I'm trying to explain how those other rishonim who explain karov and baldavar will explain this.
Probably you can easily explain chashash sheker too.
Yeah, no, for sure. That's what I was saying before. For sure, chashash sheker is understandable. How with other people understand it, I'm saying it's more of this formal idea of changing the nidon to the mishpacha away from the individual. But the other case, we'll call it the Yad Ramah's example of his explanation of shekarol of irer, is much harder to explain within this idea, right? Because the problem, according to the Adar Ramah, the example is where you're being made on the aid to whom you're no getting. Only question is, right, again, you're not being made on more people. You're only focused on this one person. Only question is, are you, you know, is your aid is limited to Kurva, which is limited to this particular case, or are you possibly him for all cases? So the question is, on a Nidon level, at the end of the day, the Nidon is the aid to whom you're a Karov or you're a Baldavar. So it's very hard to understand how are you going to align, how would you, how would the, you know, the formal, let's say, Psal Karov, Psal Baldavar, people explain that idea. And the problem, as Moshe points out, is that you can't just say, okay, the Shita is like the Fasha Sheker people, is because Yad Ramah, if you remember, is Baal Basra, is one of the Psal Karov people. Right? He's the one who accepts the formal Psal Karov approach. The question is, how do you shtim, how do you align these two Yad Ramahs? On the one hand, in Baal Basra, right, where he applies Tchilaso, the Psal Tchilaso Pepaslos, to Nogeh Beidus, because he thinks it's a Psal Karov. And yet, he thinks that there's no, that there is less, slash no, negius in a case where, you know, whether or not, you know, let's say the implications of, you know, of your edus are going to, you know, impact that person either beyond this particular case to other cases as well. So, one suggestion I was going to mention, and the second one I'm not going to mention, it's a little more speculative, is one potential idea is perhaps the Enechanami at this stage in the Gemara and the Havamina, and the Havamina thinks, even according to the Yad Ramah, that it's a Chashash Sheker. And perhaps Gufa, the transition from the Havamina to the Maskana, is a transition from the Chashash Sheker to a Psal Karov. And perhaps the Yad Ramah and Baal Basra is going like the Maskana of the Gemara, the way how it would work out. In the Havamina, basically, according to the Yad Ramah, the way he's reading the Gemara is as follows. Shekarolav Irer, where basically the Yad Ramah explains that because the Gemara at this stage is viewing the Psal Nogeh as a Chashash Sheker, since from the perspective of Chashash Sheker, the fact that you're passeling this guy for all cases, that minimizes the Chashash Sheker aspect of it. But then the Gemara rejects this. So what's the give and take? So you could have explained the give and take, even with the Chashash Sheker, the question is, you just know, how far do we go? But another way I understand the Gemara is that the goof of the Gemara is transitioning from Chashash Sheker to Psal Karov, to say, in a Chaname, from the perspective of Chashash Sheker and the Havmina, there shouldn't be any Negius, there's no Chashash Sheker when you're passeling this person in all cases. And then when the Gemara then says, oh, Gazlanusa, for sure there's Negius, perhaps it's saying, why? Because we're transitioning to a new perspective on Nogeya, to say Psal Nogeya is a formal Psal of Kurva, and from the perspective of Psal Karov, that Chiluk doesn't make any sense. So again, perhaps the way to explain the Yad Ramah is to say that this Gemara, basically this Gemara in the Havamina has its own conception of Psal Nogeh, which then transitions in the Maskana. Again, those answers are very dangerous, and the key is you have to explain. I mean, a lot of times you can always say, oh, that's the Havamina, and somehow there's a transition in the answer. But in order to say that answer, you have to explain why the transition of the Maskana relates to that transition in the Lambdas. And in this context, you actually have that. Because here, Gufa, the transition from thinking that, you know, that factor of Gezel being worse than Karov, and the transition from the Havamina to Maskana, whether you think that impacts the Negias is could be Gufa connected to this question of whether you think the Negias is a problem of Chashash Sheker and the Havamina, or whether you think it's a problem of Kurva, in which case it will not have an impact. Fine. So we don't have so much time, I just want to finish this quickly. The second issue in the Sugya, which I wish we had time. People here like to go to Red Cohen's Messer?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay, so I'm going to try to do this in a minute and a half. So the as you guys saw inside, the third answer to the Gemara of Dimi is that the case in the Mishnah is where there are two Kitei Eidim. Right? The only reason why the Baal Din is able to be Mitzarei for the Na'acher, to be Pasol, meaning Eidim, is only because the Eidim that they're being Poso are only one of two sets. Basically, the other Baal Din had a backup set. So therefore, even though you're Poso the first one, there's not a problem because he always has a second one. Again, a lot of details here at Tzarech Levayer, not going to get into all of them, but it's very important that the Gemara asks a question. Oh, so the Gemara established there's no Negias when you have a backup set. But what happens when that backup set later becomes puzzled? Someone else comes along and puzzles the backup set. So then, Limafreya, there was Negias. Right? At the time of the Haggadah's Edus, there was no Negias, because at this the time that the Baal Din is being made, right, there's a backup, so you're not really he's not really causing any harm to this other Baal Din. But once at a later point that backup becomes neutralized, then Lamat Freya, there's an Agius. So Gemara has this ambiguous line which says Kfar Heidu Edim Harishonu. And the question Rashi is two deos, but what exactly who are the Edim Rishonu? And in short, what comes out, you can see the Rashi Diramaschil Kfar Heidu Edim Rishonu. There are two deos in Rashi. Basically, whether opposite shitos, whether there is Nagias here, whether there is not Nagias here. So it's, the question is, what exactly is, you know, what's the lumdus behind these two deos? So whether or not there is Nagias in a case of, we'll call it Nagias Lemafreya. So it could very well be that it's dependent on the lumdus. That if you take the approach of Chashash Sheker, so then Chashash Sheker is all about the mindset of the person when he was giving over his edus. So according to the Chashash Sheker approach, since at the time that he's giving over his edus, there was no Nagias, because he realizes the person has backup Edim. So there shouldn't, the fact that later on there becomes a Nagias, that shouldn't play any role, and there shouldn't be any Nagias here. Like that one day in Rashi. But if you think that the Psal Nogeya is objective, so then it could very well be that an objective psul can work l'mafra. So even though Bishas got this edus in the guy's mindset, there was no negias. At the end of the day, since objectively, in the end of the day, the person becomes nogeya, so once you're dealing with an objective psul, you could very well say that objective psul will apply l'mafra. That's actually what the Kilos Yaakov Sanhedrin Simon Tezvav says this idea. And he says, Gufa, these two deos in Rashi are taloi on this chakira, and this question that we were discussing about whether psul nogeya is a chashash sheker or whether it is a formal psul. I guess we'll stop here. I'm sorry about that.